is the encounter when Jesus came to the woman in Samaria to offer her this gift. And we'll try to paint a context of how out of the box this was for Jesus or for any Jew to do this. It's hard for us to fathom going back 2,000 years ago and trying to associate why this was a big deal, because I understand that we're in a different culture and we are in a more tolerant, accepted culture as a whole. We know there's still problems, there's still divisions, but we're a lot further along than we were. And in this time period, for Jesus to even go to Samaria and to even talk to a Samaritan was totally out of custom for the Jewish person. And it was really a bad, bad deal. It was so bad that if a Jew touched any kind of vessel or pottery or any kind of cup or anything that a Samaritan person made, they were considered ceremonially unclean. In other words, they got the cooties. I mean, this is how bad this was. And this prejudice started in 722 BC between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. So there have been over 700 years of bigotry and prejudice and looking down upon between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so we pick up here where Jesus made an appointment to go to this place. It wasn't by accident. He did not get lost. His GPS did not mess up. He intentionally went here. We pick up in verse 3. He left Judea and departed unto Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. In other words, he did this intentionally. He went here by divine assignment. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well. It was about the sixth hour. Most people agree it's around lunchtime, noontime. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it, you being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. This was a major deal. And I guess the way we can relate to it today in the best context is before the Civil Rights Movement took place and there was complete division in America between black and white. Complete division. Separate water fountains, separate restrooms, separate ways to get into a restaurant. I mean, it was separate. Imagine going back to 1930 in the middle of such segregation and division and separation. And you being a white man, Chuck, associates with a black man to the degree that you're offering him a gift and you're talking to him in public and you're welcoming him to your part of the world. Many of you grew up in that generation. Thank God I didn't, but many of you did. This is the best way I can associate to where we can relate to how this division was. It was looked down upon for the Jewish people to even communicate with people from Samaria. They were considered less than. They were considered not as important as. They were considered not God's people. They were considered dirty and dogs. And we're going to see here as we talk about this morning how all of us all over the world, how we share the same thing as human beings. I want to make this point. Every human being upon planet Earth, no matter what color our skin is, whether you're liberal or conservative, whether you're black or white, whether you're saved or not saved, you know, whether you're a drug addict or you never took a drug in your life, whatever your situation is, every human being shares same things. We all share the same sun. We all share the same moon. We all breathe the same air. We all have eyes and ears and legs and feet and arms and hands. We all have heartbeats. We all have organs. We all have blood vessels. We all cry. We all laugh. We all get sad. We all get happy. All of us have the same thing. If we would start looking at how similar we are instead of how different we are, then we would be in a lot better place. Because we are more the same than we are different. By far. You may not like grits. But if you don't like grits, you probably like oatmeal. And they're very similar. The same kind of texture. Oh, they're similar, sure. Oh, yeah. We all share more in common than we don't have in common. When a terrorist attack happens in the middle of Syria, as Rodney was talking, which is a Muslim country by whole, if you notice, when a terrorist bombs and kills innocent Muslim children, do the mothers cry? Yes. Do the mothers love their kids like you love your kid? Yes. But yet we tend to think this gift of grace, this gift of Jesus, can only be to the ones who have prepared themselves, who look like they're supposed to, who act like they're supposed to, who dress like they're supposed to, who live in a certain area like they're supposed to, not realizing this same Jesus, this same grace, this same gift was for every single person born up on the earth. There is no restrictions because of where we come from. There are no restrictions because of how we were raised. There's no restrictions by how we look. And here is Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and she is flabbergasted. I've not used that word in years. Not sure what it means, but I think it went right there. She was flabbergasted. And she's sitting there thinking, why, you being a Jewish man, talking to me? Let's relate something else. Now, none of you are probably this old, so please don't, because I don't know exactly my history on this. So nobody get mad, please. I don't think anybody's this old in here. But there was a point that women couldn't legally vote. When did that pass? In the 20s? Yeah. So think about that. I mean, you women now, look back. Mom, you're a pretty independent woman. You ever think about there was a day I couldn't have voted? How's that make you feel? Right. Exactly. I mean, men thought women had no brain. I was watching a Western. I think it's Bonanza or something. Another day I was watching a Western. And they were talking about the women were rising up. About that, they were running a voting thing was going on in town. And the women rose up. And one of the cowboys said, look, we got to get this under control. Man, the women are wanting to vote. And I'm sitting here going, no. OMG, are you serious? The women are wanting to vote. How dare them women have an opinion? It's amazing when we look back at our culture. And in some countries, like Rodney said, in the Islamic world, women are still very suppressed. So suppressed. They can't be covered. They can't be out in public apart from a man. I mean, can you imagine, you women? Linda, imagine, everywhere you go, you got to have a man with you. I'm going to Walmart, got to have a man with me. Going to get gas, gotta have a man with me. Going to pay my bills, gotta have a man with me. This is how the culture is. And we, if we would learn to realize that there are more similarities in our lives than there are differences. And this woman was amazed Jesus was talking to her. Said, why are you talking to me? This don't make sense. What's going on? So he goes on to say, Jesus answered her and said, this is Jesus' words right here. If you knewest the gift of God. The gift of God, that is key in this message this morning. And who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Who approached who first? Jesus went to her, didn't he? She didn't come to him. Jesus found her. This is key in understanding how grace works. Grace came to us. We didn't go to grace. Grace found us. We didn't find grace. God touched us. We didn't touch God. God stepped out first. We didn't step out first. He on purpose went to this woman, and he didn't just pick any woman. We read here in a minute. He picked a bad woman. Okay? He picked a bad one. Maybe you're one of them women here today. If you are, don't raise your hand. But he went to one of these bad women. He didn't play around. He didn't go to some, you know, Holy Ghost filled, independent, shouting, tongue-talking, Baptist, gospel, Pentecostal woman. He went to a woman who had a reputation. He was offering this gift, showing that my grace that I'm going to offer you has no boundaries, has no limitations. It is not prejudiced in any way. It is not just for a certain people, a certain way, a certain time. This gift is for whoever will receive it. So he goes on to say, I've got this gift. The woman said, sir. Now, once again, she's not thinking spiritual at all here. She's thinking totally natural at this point. Thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where will this water come from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jesus said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This gift God gives us isn't something that he gives us and then we lose it. He gives it and then it's gone. When he plants that gift in our lives, it remains and it's there steadfastly forever and ever. And it's continually there working and active in our lives, reminding us who we belong to and who we are in Christ. It's a gift that stays within us. That's why we can have joy in sorrow more than one day. We can have joy every day because it's springing up. We can have peace every day because it's springing up. We can have understanding every day because it's springing up. We can have boldness every day because it's springing up. This gift keeps on. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Just like Cousin Eddie told Clark when he got the Jelly Club card. Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving. This is the gift that keeps on giving. Because when he gives us this gift, we are complete. We have what we need for the rest of our lives. There's nothing else above that, nothing else to gain beyond that. We grow in our walk, yes. We grow in our faith. We grow in the spiritual gifts. We grow in God. We grow and we mature. But I'm talking about there's nothing greater that comes than receiving this gift of grace that Jesus offers us. And when we have it, we've got it. Just like when Richard passed away, and we did a service a few weeks ago. I was in the hospital talking to him. He reminded me, he said, I know I haven't come to church. I haven't been in church in a while, you know. But says, I know I'm saved. Says, I got saved in your office, and I'm saved. He was so bold about that. And it so touched me that he remembered that moment we had and that he remembered that moment he had with God. I'm saved. I gave my heart to him in your office. Do you remember that? I said, I sure do. If we could learn to realize this gift God gives us, he doesn't take it back. We in our own minds begin to doubt things and we begin to question things. But this gift is not questionable. This gift remains. This gift is steadfast. This gift goes on in our lives every single day. And Jesus is telling her, you drink of this well water, you'll be thirsty again in a few hours. Tomorrow you'll want some more water. But what I give you will satisfy you all of your days. And it will be enough that will get you what you need day by day. Are there times in your lives when you're having a really bad day, a rotten day, a terrible day, and you begin to call on God, you begin to pray, you begin to seek his face, you begin to worship God, you just need him that day? What happens? He comes. He shows up. He arrives because he's there living inside of you. This is not something we turn off and on like a switch. The Holy Spirit abides in us, and it goes with us everywhere that we go. If we could just learn to walk in the fullness of the gift that God's given us and to use it to the best of our ability. It's kind of like somebody told me the other day. He said, why do they put 160 miles an hour on a car dial, speedometer, but you only go 65 miles an hour? If the car go 160, but they limit the speed limit to 65, and why do they do that? It just tempts you, right, to want to go way past 65 because you see that dial. In our spiritual walk, sometimes we're going at 65 whenever we could be going at 160. We're not using all that God has given us. We're not walking in all that God gives us. This gift blooms so many fruits and so many benefits if we would learn to walk in it. Verse 15, the woman said to her, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now Jesus reminds her in verse 16, here's what's happening. Let me tell you what's happening in the next few verses. Jesus begins to bring up her lifestyle. And it's not for judgment. It's not for condemnation. It's to make her aware of how precious the gift he's offering her is. Here's what he said. Go call your husband and have him come. The woman answers, says, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said well, you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and he who thou now hast is not thy husband, in that you sayest truly. Now understand, even in today's generation, Somebody said, I've been married 5 times. That's even bad now. I mean, no offense, y'all married 5 times. That's pretty bad. You just, look, just don't do the marriage thing. I mean, man, you can't get it right 5 times. I mean, really? I was going, this woman asked Melanie that she knew, said, you think your husband would marry us? And she'd been married, I think, 4 or 5 times. Be her fourth husband. And my wife said, well, he requires, you know, marital counseling. And here's her response. Oh, I've been married 4 times. I don't need no marriage counseling. Yeah, I'm like, okay. Of course, I didn't do it because, I mean, really? But they didn't stay married 6 months. And they're, see, I mean, that's how our thinking is. Oh, I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm good. Now, think about this time period. Now, y'all think the 50s were a Leave It to Beaver generation. All right? And some of you are in here very much remember the 50s. How do you remember the 50s? You remember the 50s. Very good. All right? If you saw a 17-year-old high school student in the 50s that was pregnant walking around school, Kevin. Oh, she would be walking around the school, Mom said. She would be expelled. Yeah. An aunt. Yeah. Think about that. You know? And if I remember my mom right, didn't you say in high school that y'all couldn't wear pants? Wimp girls? Girls couldn't wear pants in high school. Oh, really? Right. Scarlet letter. Right. Right. So think about that. That was just the 50s, okay? Think about this. We're talking 2,000 years ago. I mean, here's a woman. I mean, she must have been the talk of the town. Can you imagine a woman in that generation being married 5 times and then with another man? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Jesus, man, he picked the best. He didn't just go to some little squeaky clean living person. He went and found a woman, and he's doing this to teach us an example of his grace. That he didn't care if she'd been married 5 times as far as the gift being received. That her receiving this gift would not be limited. Aren't you glad? Church, I'm telling you, this generation, if we're going to go back to rules and legalism, you better hope. I mean, I know many of you have been married more than 1 time in here. So, I mean, if that's the thing, think about going to St. Peter. How many times have you been married? Never. I mean, think about that. Here's a woman that Jesus went to and found 5 husbands, another one now. He's trying to make her aware of her condition, that she needed redemption, that she needed forgiveness, that she needed hope, and she needed peace. Here's what she does in verse 20. I love how this shifts. Well, verse 19 first. The woman said to him, I perceive you are a prophet. Then she changed the subject, like we do many times, and tried to deflect the subject off of her own life. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. You say it's in Jerusalem. Samaritans did not recognize Jerusalem whatsoever as the place of worship. Is this the place where men ought to worship? She's trying to change the subject here and deflect it off of her. Jesus says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. There's a purity to the worship he's talking about. It's not about being in the synagogue. Not about being over here at the First Baptist Church. It's not about being in the big cathedral. It's not about being here, being there. Worship's about me. I'm the message. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's offering this gift. It's about worshiping me wherever you're at. Not about a physical location. It's about who you're worshiping. Not what you're worshiping. It's about who you're worshiping. She's trying to deflect the subject because of her, like I said, because of her life. But look what Jesus says. He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She heard the She heard the message that there was a Messiah coming. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak unto you am he. He revealed himself to her. He stands before this woman who he shouldn't have been talking to, who was so unclean, who was so unworthy, who had such a checkered past, who was probably a disgrace to her town. And scholars, if you do study, and the reason she was out at lunchtime getting water instead of the morning time is probably because she couldn't be seen in town in the morning with the regular folks. So she had to wait till the area cleared out a little bit so she could go get water because she was such a disgrace. And this is who Jesus came to. And then we as Christians, we want to categorize, we want to point fingers, and we want to judge based on where someone's at or what they've done or what they've been, not realizing this gift isn't for the fish that's already cleaned up and ready to fry. This gift is for the one as they are. Jesus said that, come as you are, and I will give you rest. Come as you are. Think about this appointment that Jesus made with this woman. Now the disciples come along in the next verse, and of course they're amazed at what's going on because once again he shouldn't have been talking to her. What verse are we on? 27, thank you. And he came, and upon this came his disciples. They marveled that he talked with the woman. They were amazed. Why are you talking to this woman, Jesus? Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why do you talk with her? They didn't ask Jesus anything. The woman left her water pot and went her way in the city and said to the man, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Notice she left her water pot. She left what she had to go tell the men of what she's going to receive. She left behind what she came for to have something better for her future. She left the water right there. Didn't even bother taking it home. With excitement, she ran home to tell her family, tell people in her household, this man told me everything. Is this not the Christ? And they went out of the city. They came to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him anything to eat? And Jesus saith, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Right now, Jesus is saying, you're waiting for 4 months. That's when the natural harvest is coming. They were waiting on that. He was talking spiritually. The harvest is now. It's now time. What are we waiting on? Now people are hungry. Now people are thirsty. Now people are hopeless. Now people are waiting. Now people. I mean, if you go on Facebook at all, you see all the hate and all the bitterness and all the argumentative stuff and all the just junk that the people's spirits are so fueled with anger and with different passions that sometimes come out in a very negative way because there's no peace inside. The rest of the story, we don't finish it because that's not, I want to stop at that point, but the rest of the story, the woman does go, tell the men, they come, that she does receive this gift, her family receives this gift, and their lives are changed forever because Jesus made an appointment, an on-purpose appointment to find her. Sometimes we forget it was Jesus who first loved us. It was him that came to us first. And we want to put boundaries. We want to put specifications. We want to put specs. And I understand, I understand we all are natural. And if you see someone, the way they look on the outside paints a picture of probably what they are. Sometimes that is true. Sometimes it's not true. But even if it is true, don't they deserve the same gift you got? Man, they deserve. They are hurting. They are suffering. And they are in pain just like you. I think about children that are growing up in fatherless homes. I think about how many kids don't have a father in their home. How many kids are growing up without all their needs being met. How many people are growing up with dads in prison. How many people are growing up with broken families. How many are growing up with, you know, moms that are on drugs or moms that are on the bottle and can't put it down or whatever the situation is. These are the same little 5 and 6 year old bright eyed kids that you were, with the same dreams, the same hopes, the same desires that we have. And their environment limits them as a child to what they're able to do. And sometimes we are so quick to judge that. and push them subconsciously even away. And when you think about right now, all over the world, there are people in every nation on the earth. There are some representation in every nation of the earth of Christianity that believes in Jesus, that knows about it, I mean. Over in China, there's underground churches that have to meet in secret. They have to hide from government officials to have church. That's a fact happening right now in 2018. And if they are found worshiping Jesus in these churches, they are arrested for that. This is happening. But when you see people of every language and every race and every tongue worshiping the same God, all of a sudden we realize this gift isn't just for the southern Georgia boy. You know, this gift isn't just for, you know, I know like in New York where George and John's from, churches are very different up there, and where Don's from, Pennsylvania. I know it's very, they don't have quite the same type of churches spread everywhere up there like they do here. But you know what? There's still a hunger in New York City for Jesus Christ. And there's a hunger in Oregon for Jesus Christ. There's a hunger in L.A., California for Jesus Christ. There's a hunger. There is a hunger and there's a need. Just because geographic areas change things. I was talking to Jamie the other day on the phone. He's talking about churches out there. Nothing like, he made the comment. He goes, there's no living words out here. That's for sure. And he says, and Christian finally has finally found a church. It took her a year and a half. She's anchored into a church. She's very, very happy. Reminds her a lot of our church, she said. And she feels right. It took her a year and a half. But you know what? She's found it and it's there. And Jesus is also in Orlando, Florida. And that power is everywhere. I want to play a video in just a second. And I've got that minimized at the bottom on my YouTube, my Chrome, or it's a song, Revelation song. And you have to drag it over if you know how to do that on the screen, other screens, so people can see it. This is a song. Do you see it? Might have to hit escape and then drag it over. This song was called Revelation Song. And we've sung it here before. You might want to help her, Melly, with that. And this song, I couldn't burn it this morning. That's why I got to do it this way. I couldn't get it burnt this morning. This song is sung in 11 different languages. I played it a few years ago. I thought it was so moving. I want you to see this five-minute video because this kind of paints the picture of what I'm talking about the gift of God. It's sung in five different languages. And you won't be able to see everything up there because it's a little bit small. So it starts out in Israel, then Argentina, then Japanese, then German, then from the Netherlands, then Taiwan, South Korea, France, Finland, Brazil, and closes out in English. 11 different languages. That's okay. There he goes. Maximize that. And then maximize it again. There we go. Watch this song, see if this song don't move you. One gift to all people.
Oh, me puissant, quand j'invoque ton nom.
I just think that's powerful. With all creation, we sing to the same King. Marty, come on up here if you would. I want you to play a little something. I want to do something this morning to put a visual behind this gift of God he has for you. You know, we have in our culture different things that we categorize people in. Every generation changes to some degree. Some are constant. You know, there's always been prejudice by skin color. There's always been prejudice by economics. But I'm going to do something this morning. I'm going to do the picking this morning, okay? Because I want it to be very diverse for my message. And you ain't got to say anything. Don't be embarrassed. I just need you to come up here and stand, okay? So I'm going to try to pick 10 people, all right? So let's start with Courtney. Come up here, if you would. Sierra. I don't have his pre-planned. Just scan the crowd to get an eyeball. Rodney, if you would come up. Grandma, come up, if you would. Chuck. David Lee. Nikki. Taylor. How many have I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Need two more. Gail Finch. And Anthony. Y'all make a line if you would. Just face the crowd, make a line. Now, we see up here people of different ages, male and female. We have younger and older. We have some that work, some that don't work. Now, this represents the world. I've got 10 things I'm going to give you. This is not indicative of what you are whatsoever, okay? I picked out 10 categories of what we, drug addict, special needs, unwed mother, conservative, liberal, Latino, African American, rich, poor, and gay. Would you say there are 10 things that we tend to measure people about, that we judge them on, that we look at them a different way when we see them? They're a drug addict. They're homosexual. They have kids and not married. They're black, Hispanic. Oh, they're rich. I can't stand rich folks. They don't need this gift. They got everything in the world. I'm going to tell you something. Us poor folks need to stop judging the rich as well. The rich need Jesus. And the poor need Jesus. We got conservatives and we got liberals. And boy, they don't like each other, do they? And I've got my stance as well. But I've learned to realize this gift's for everybody. As we see these things up here, Jesus approached a Samaritan woman. Jesus approached one that was, I don't have that up here, but she was a hussy. A gigolo, whatever you want to call it. And I think about us as Christians. Let me grab something up here. That this gift of God is for everybody. This cross says faith, believe in Him. The Bible says all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that for God so loved the world. Who's the world? Is it the drug addict? Is the drug addict part of the world? Is the gay person part of the world? Is the black and the white and the Hispanic all part of the same world? The rich and the poor, the liberal and the conservative, the unwed mothers that have children, not married. All of these are things in this society that if we were Jesus, would He approach this person and this person? He did. Remember, He went to the rich man. And He honored the poor woman, the widow, the mite. Remember, He honored her. He went different places, Samaritan, different races. He talked to both liberal and conservative. He talked to the pious religious Jews. The old decrepit, Gail said. Thank God for that gift, right, brother? Remember, the woman committed adultery. Caught the very act. Man, you know what we would do? We would Snapchat it and send it out. Caught you the pants down, didn't I? Let the whole world see it. But not Jesus. As those people surround that woman with adultery in the middle of the city and had all them rocks in her hands, Jesus simply said, "You without sin, cast the first stone." He picked her up and says, "I don't condemn you either." I want us to do something. This is a visual. As I ask you this question, I know you all will say yes. And please do, because it makes it better for the presentation. When you say yes, I'm going to hand you this, and you drop your page where you're at, okay? Do you receive this gift of grace? Ask her now. Drop your page, Grandma. Ask her. Ask them.
Yes, I do. This is what this gift did. This gift is not limited to just the people that look like they're ready for it. But it's limited to every single person that will receive it. This is the gift that God came to give all of us. And this gift of grace simply means I died for your sins, past, present, and future. I died that you could live with me forever. The cross says, believe in him. He says, I went in once and for all to obtain eternal redemption for you. Once and for all. Let us love like Christ loved. Let us give this gift like Christ. I'm telling you, I told Chuck, I want some scary people here at the church. Not one's going to hurt me, but you know, scary looking people. Don't worry about how they don't be afraid to approach them. I'm going to tell you, the big 6'5" Bubba with the beard down to here looks like he'd tear your hind end up. He might need this gift too. I've seen burly men cry under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've seen rough people bow down the knees and say, I need Jesus. Let's offer this gift and let's do it now. Let's not wait. Let's do it now. The harvest is ripe now. There are drug addicts, all of you know, right now. There are unwed mothers, you know, right now. There are conservatives and liberals, different races. There are the poor, there's the rich, and there's the gay that you know now. Offer this gift to them and say, will you receive the gift I received? When Peter preached that first message and 5,000 were saved, their hearts were pricked with the gospel. The gospel is not a message of exclusiveness. It's a message of inclusiveness. It's not a message just for some. It's a message for all. And that's the beauty of grace. Let me ask you this. If you out there sitting there believe and receive the gift of grace for Jesus for your lives, stand up and acknowledge that this morning with me. I receive the gift of grace. As my eyes are up on the cross right now, I receive the gift of grace. Lord, it's not anything I earn, not anything I deserve, but by your mercy, you reached out to me. By your grace, you called my name. And yes, Lord, I receive this beautiful gift of grace that forgives me of all of my sins and secures me with a future that the devil can't take away, and my weaknesses can't take away, and everything that I do can't take away. It's a gift you gave me, God, and I receive it, and I believe it, and I claim it in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all stay on your feet for a minute. Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. You can leave them paper. That's okay. We'll get it. Sing something, Marjorie.
Where would I be?
You only know.
I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for. Where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for. Where would I be?
You only know. I'm glad you see.
I'm glad you see.
Through eyes of love.
Through eyes of love.
A hopeless cave. An empty place.
An empty place.
If not for grace.
Amazing.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
How sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless cave, an empty place, if not for grace.
This gift you've offered all of us, we're thankful. We're so grateful for the cross that changed our whole lives. We are so grateful that you don't look at us based on our sins and our failures, but you look at us with eyes of love. God, you've reached out this morning to touch our hearts, and we are thankful. And I pray that every eye was open to see the truth of the gospel, that how dare us limit what we share based on how someone is or what we think they might even receive. But God, we just offer it. We just give it away as you gave it to us. And we let them know there's a Savior and there's an answer and there is hope and there is assurance and there is healing and there is peace for their lives. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. As we receive this gift, we are thankful. This gift cannot be taken away. It cannot be stolen away. It is a gift you gave us, and it is sealed by the crucifixion and resurrection, Lord. And we are thankful for that promise we have in you and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be seated. If I get to